It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It looks like he's about 30 feet off the water, and he's probably doing 100 knots down the river. And he's just screaming. And instead of pulling away, he turns the helicopter sideways as it's in motion and aims at us. Now he's hovering over the river. And all of a sudden, I can still remember the rotor blades turning towards us down and him coming straight at us. He comes at us. Now we're sitting in front of a hotel that's like 10 or 12 stories tall. And he comes right at us on the river and he's waving out the window. And he pulls straight up the face of the hotel, just straight up. And he flies out. He spins around, makes a big bank. And he's still waving out the window. He comes around and he goes off into the desert.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure. Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. As you can see, we still have Dave Granville in our studio today. Welcome back, even though you haven't gone anywhere. But to the, but to the listeners,
it's been full seven days.
It's been a full week.
Anticipation. And man, I feel so bad leaving that cliffhanger. I hate when I get cliffhangers, but I hope it brought a lot of people back.
That was a pretty good cut point.
That was a really, you know, on the dot.
I was looking for a point, guys, and I found one.
You did find it. It was perfect timing.
So, you know, we like to keep our episodes at our 20 to 30 minute range, and we're getting close to 30 minutes of recording time. It'll probably be 20, 25 minutes. So I figured that was like a perfect cut time.
And, that's a sweet spot.
And everybody had to get a cliffhanger. So sorry, everybody. But like I said, welcome back to another awesome and amazing episode. And by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it. Dave's wearing a shirt that he wore at Joe's memorial today. And it actually has pictures of him all over the place. And you get to see photos. And I know Dave's going to send over some photos. He might have, actually, you already did send over the photos. Yeah, I just haven't downloaded them yet.
We'll put those up so people can see them.
Yeah, we'll put them up in here. And so everybody can kind of see some really cool pictures.
And a lot of pictures of my dad and Brandon.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good pictures of my dad.
I hope you sent that one. He has like a cigar in his mouth, like in Vietnam. I remembered seeing one at the memorial.
Oh, I don't know if I sent that one over.
Oh, I got to get that
I'll
one.
I'll have to look.
We got to see that one. It was pretty cool. So
there's some great Vietnam pictures.
I can't wait to look at them. All right. So where were we, Dave?
To go back to, we were living in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. My dad was a pilot there, helicopter pilot still. This was post-Vietnam. And we got a call at night and my mom got off the phone and she was crying. And about an hour later, a military vehicle pulled up in front of the house. My dad jumped out and he walked in the house and he was mud head to toe, completely mud head to toe. My mom was crying and hugging on him and everything else. And so then they finally told me what happened. So he had had a mechanical failure and...
Hold on. I clicked the wrong button.
Really?
Also the wrong button. Man. You know what? I messed up on the whole thing.
You're bad on the sound machine.
Oh, that's awful. You know what?
You know what, Mark? You can leave that in.
Just for the comedy of it.
All right. So, forget my soundboard. Let's continue.
So needless to say, my parents explained to me what happened. My dad said, my dad was laughing actually and had a smile on his face. And he said, well, I had a mechanical failure and I had to crash land the helicopter into a lake. And we had to wade out of the lake in the mud. And he came home and it was like for him, no big deal because he'd been down so many times in Vietnam. And I wish I knew more of the story, but they crash landed the helicopter. That was probably 1971 or 1972 that he crashed into the lake in Oklahoma. But shortly thereafter, one more thing is when I was 6 years old in Fort Leonard Wood, we would go out into the woods and hike. I'd take my dad's canteen from Vietnam with me and I'd hike out into the woods and we would go run the firing line. A bunch of old helicopters and Jeeps and things like that out there where they would do their practice runs. And I don't know how we got it, but we would climb through all the helicopters that were blown up and through all the things in the woods. I was six.
That's so cool.
And I can't even imagine that we were just all a bunch of little kids and we just trudge out into the woods and we go walk this. So I'm guessing they must have had somebody check it before they would actually bomb through there because we would climb through there all the time.
How could you check to see if there are children in downed helicopters?
You know, Maddie's dad actually works at bombing ranges for he works for Department of Defense. So I'll probably ask how they make sure that he's not on the range when they start dropping.
Yeah, I know they say if it's hot or cold, because I mean that's why restricted areas are hot or cold. A lot of them are.
Yeah, but I feel like we'd hear about, you know, a little Dave getting blown up if
it's,
this was
it's
a problem
really interesting.
Before.
I mean, there must be a protocol. I don't know it, but I remember climbing around that whole bomb area and all the Jeeps and military vehicles and helicopters, and we'd sit in helicopters that were, you know, half blown up. It was an interesting part of my life. Smash fireflies on ourselves so we'd glow when we walked through the woods.
What?
Yeah.
And, oh, that's cool. I didn't get to see that or experience that. Growing up in Southern California.
Yeah, it was definitely different in Missouri.
Yeah.
So in 1972, my dad got out of the military. His time was up and he decided to go back to California and become a civilian. And so as a civilian, getting out of the military, he couldn't afford to fly. So he didn't fly much and he pursued.
He still wanted to fly.
He always wanted to fly. There was one time, and we'll hear about that in a minute, where he didn't want to fly. So he came back to California. He went into sales and worked in the sales side of it and really missed flying helicopters. So he decided he was going to go to Cal State Fullerton and put himself through Cal State Fullerton. He was going to go back into the military as an officer. So when he finished up at Cal State Fullerton and he graduated, he joined the Air National Guard and became a helicopter pilot out of Los Alamitos, California, which is by Brandon's house.
Yep.
And he gets to see those helicopters all the time. My dad was a pilot there as an officer from the time I was probably in late elementary school all the way till I was an adult. And he would fly over our house and we would go outside and watch him, and he would pitch the helicopter up on his side to make the blades sound really loud so we'd hear them. Then we'd go outside and nobody was ever threatened about by it or anything else. The neighbors would go outside, everybody would wave, and he'd flash the spotlight at us. And it was common practice. I lived in two different houses while he was in the military, and he would do that often. I would go to the Los Alamitos and get in trouble with the MPs. I can remember having my first car and driving down the flight line and the MPs chasing me. And now if you did that, they would shoot you. So I was just a punk kid doing stupid stuff at that time. And then later on in life, as an adult, you know, I'd moved out of my parents' house. I was separated from, but still talked to my parents a lot. And at one point, I decided to go to the Colorado River.
Ooh, you know what's about to happen? This is my favorite story of Joe.
So I had no
idea. Back and relax.
I had not told my parents I was going to the Colorado River. Not that I had to. I was an adult at that time. And I was going to some friends to jet ski, and we were on the beach, and one of the jet skis had a dead battery. Well, if anybody who knows Laughlin, we had to go across to Bullhead City to get a battery. So we drove out. We were coming across the bridge, and I see three Hueys flying into the airport in Bullhead. And they're landing as we're driving down the road, and the pilot gets out of one of the helicopters, and I looked at my buddy and I said, "That's my dad." And he goes, "No way." And I said, "No, that's really my dad. I can tell by the way he's walking." He goes, "That is not your dad." I go, "It's really my dad." So I said, "Stop." And so I yelled over. My dad takes off his helmet and waves at us and then points us to the FBO. And they come out in the golf cart. They pick up the military guys in the golf cart and they run over to the FBO. So we drive over to the FBO. My dad's like, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "You know, we had to do a formation mission. And so we decided, let's fly to Bullhead. We'll go over to Laughlin, have lunch, and then we'll fly a mission back to Los Alamitos."
See, military pilots even go do the $100 hamburger, except for they don't have to pay for the gas.
Right.
That was probably more like a $50,000 hamburger, probably. FYI.
You know, I feel like after two tours that he did, the way he did them, I think that I'm happy that my taxes paid for $100 right. hamburger. For.
Exactly. And my dad was a good guy. And he was frugal and knew his stuff.
Of course, that's awesome.
So the cool part of the story is he said, "Do you have the yellow jet ski?" And I said, "Yeah, the yellow jet ski is on the beach over there." And he says, "Okay, after lunch, I'm going to come down and I'm going to look for the yellow jet ski." Not completely knowing what that meant, I said, "Okay, great." Left. We got the battery, went back. Now it's been a couple hours and we get to the beach and the girls are sitting on the beach and I'm putting the battery in the jet ski and I'm telling the story. "Oh yeah, my dad was flying a helicopter down and they were in formation and he was lead and he said he was going to stop by. So I don't know what that means, but we'll see." As I'm telling the story, here comes a Huey down the Colorado River. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and he's on the water. I mean, I could be remembering it different, but it looks like he's about 30 feet off the water and he's probably doing 100 knots down the river and he's just screaming. And instead of pulling away, he turns the helicopter sideways as it's in motion and aims at us. And he's sitting over the water and he's hovering over the river. And all of a sudden, I can still remember the rotor blades turning towards us down and him coming straight at us. He comes at us. Now, we're sitting in front of a hotel that's like 10 or 12 stories tall. And he comes right at us on the river. He comes right at the yellow jet ski because I know that's what he's leaving. And he's waving out the window like this. So he comes up. He pulls up. Actually, I think in the helicopter, he's right seat. So he would be with the left hand. And he pulls straight up the face of the hotel, just straight up. And he flies out. He spins around, makes a big bank. And he's still waving out the window. And he comes out. He comes around and he goes off into the desert. And all the people on the beach are standing up and everybody's cheering. It was like out of a movie. It was really crazy. My uncle actually worked in the hotel. He worked in the casino there. And about an hour later, my uncle walks out on his break and he comes out to the beach and he looks at me and he goes, "I heard your dad scared the crap out of the people on the 10th floor." He goes, "I knew it could be nobody but him." So I went back and later on that next week, I went over to my dad's house and I said, "Dad, that was just amazing. Everybody was thrilled on the beach. My friends were thrilled. That was the coolest thing that you could have done." And I said, "Don't you get in trouble for something like that?" And he goes, "See how small the tail numbers are? Nobody's going to call me in." So that was one of the greater stories. So later on, my dad took a hitch as the air base commander in Fort Gillem, Georgia. And he was running the air base there. He took a pension risk to be there, which meant he couldn't retire if the base closed or if something went wrong. But he wanted to be a lieutenant colonel. And so he went to Fort Gillem, was the air base commander there. He became an IG, which is an inspector general for aviation. He did helicopter crash investigations, actually in California too. There's some pictures that we'll post of that, of some crashed helicopters he was an investigator on. And when he was IG, he would check all the air bases in that area and surrounding areas and basically check and make sure they were up to snuff. It's a pretty important job and it's a difficult job because you've really got to whip people into shape. Oh, the other thing I didn't touch on when he was at Los Alamitos, he flew the military version of a King Air when he went, he flew fixed wing as well. Obviously, he flew several other planes, but the main one he flew was the military version of King Air, and he would fly the general around. And that was one of his jobs that he did there. He had some great stories about doing that too, landing in the fog with the general on board.
Carson's face looks so perplexed right now.
What's the military version of a King Air? And I know Brandon already knew, so he's pulling it up.
I wish I could remember the name of it. I wrote it down, but I looked at my notes this morning and I couldn't find it.
Well, I mean, there's pictures of it.
It has a name.
350 ER? No.
No,
it's just called a King Air.
No, there's a name for it. But it was, so that's what he flew the general around. But one of his great stories he told is the...
Oh, found it.
Yep. There it is right there.
C-12 Huron.
That's the one.
Is the military version of the King Air 200. So I don't know if it's a military version of the 350 or something like that. But
yeah,
that's all I could find on a very quick search.
My dad was flying the general. And when you were flying the general, there were certain protocols. You didn't take any risk. You didn't do anything like that.
Which is just like your dad.
Yeah, exactly. So he was flying into Central California in this plane. He had the general with him. They went to land at the base they were supposed to land at. And they said, "We're fogged in. We don't even want you coming in IFR. It's just... it's too thick." So they sent him off to another runway and they said, "Okay, we're going to send transport, pick up the general at this other airport." And he said, "So I'm coming in." And I go, he calls in and says, what's the runway length at this place?" And they said like 2,200 feet. He goes, "I might need more than that." And he said, so he came in and he goes, "I crossed the," he goes, "as soon as I saw asphalt, I put that thing on the ground and threw everything back and we pulled in and we stopped." And he goes, and all of a sudden I look in front of me and he goes, "I still have half the runway." And he goes, "The general behind me goes, that was nice." And so I actually, my dad got a medal for that landing for something with the general. It was pretty funny, but that was one of the things. So later on, my dad, when Fort Gillem closed, my dad was out of the military. He was instantly a civilian and he went back to a civilian again and working in sales. He flew fixed wing at that point. He didn't fly helicopters anymore, but he would rent planes and my mom and him would fly all over the East Coast and around Georgia and Savannah and places like that. And he flew then. He was pretty upset that he lost his position. He was on a pension hold, but he went to work. He ended up eventually moving to Phoenix, California. Rick Dickinson, who I mentioned earlier that he was in Vietnam with on his second tour, was a good friend of his. And they still communicated all through the years. And I can remember staying at the Dickinson's house and his family and his kids. And they got to be friends again. They got close. And Rick's wife was going through cancer. and he had retired and he decided I need to be close to my wife. I'm going to build a Vans RV12 in my garage.
Anybody heard us talk about a Vans RV12 before?
This is the Vans RV12 that gets talked about on the show. I've heard it mentioned myself listening. I am a fan of the podcast, by the way. I listen to it myself.
Dave listens. He's one of our avid listeners.
I am an avid listener.
And I told Dave, because I don't know if we posted the episode yet, but we left him a little surprise in one of the episodes.
And I haven't heard it yet. I've been listening for it.
Did we?
I was just glad it wasn't the dog episode. I was worried that, oh man, he's not going to put the dog in my plane.
Oh, that dog. No, that dog is too big for your plane.
It is too big for my plane.
You still liking the dog?
The dog is iffy right now, by the way. You know what? Okay, so the dog has gotten better at the house, but in public, he is not great.
Is really? That Hawk?
Huh?
Hawk?
Yeah. Hawk. Yeah, Hawk.
Haley Welsh.
No. I mean, the dog is...
And I've never talked to him about this. This is only from the podcast that I know.
I didn't even tell him that I had a dog. He only knows from the podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, Maverick's been pretty cool. But I bring him over to like the restaurant down the street to Pelican Isle. And I put him outside. And I figured, oh, he's going to like being pet. He just will not lay down. Like, he's just too active and like... I don't know. He needs to be more socialized.
It'll be interesting in an airplane. You better get some training done with that, though.
Oh, he needs training for sure. You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's up, Brandon.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
So back to the RV12. So Rick decided that he could build an RV12 in his garage. He could still be close to his wife and help her, and it could keep his mind occupied because he was very worried about his wife. Rick is a super intelligent guy, an amazing guy. If there's somebody that I trust to build an airplane, it's that guy. But he was retired and worked on this plane and took care of his wife and built it in the garage. And him and my dad started communicating more and more about the airplane. My dad was very intrigued with this RV-12. He talked about it all the time. Eventually, he went up and saw the plane and watched what Rick was building. And Rick told stories of, you know, running the engine in the driveway and all the different things that he did through the course of it. He actually flew the plane to Canada and had it painted in Canada. You'll see pictures of it somewhere along the way, and it's all military trainer. So it looks like a military trainer. These are the fixed wing planes that they flew in the military that they trained in.
By the way, it is one of the most beautiful paint jobs I've ever seen.
It is a great paint job.
It's amazing. And there's something special on the tail too.
Yeah. Betty Jean is what the plane's called, and we still call it Betty Jean. And Betty Jean is on the tail, and that is Rick's mom. And it's a picture, a photo that they had done, and it's done on the tail. It's really cool. So the plane is lovingly called Betty Jean and still stays Betty Jean. One side of the fuselage has Rick's name on it, and the other side has Lieutenant Colonel Joseph P. Conley, which is my dad, on the other side. That'll stay there as long as I have the plane. Eventually, Rick and my dad flew that same plane all the way to Oshkosh. They showed it at Oshkosh and camped at Oshkosh.
I was there that year.
That's cool. And my dad and Rick flew all that way in that little plane and was stuffed full of stuff. They told stories about Montana being so overweight that they could barely get above the trees to get out of Montana after they fueled. But Rick said last night, he said, that's one of my memories of my life was that trip to Oshkosh and how great it was and taking the plane and flying with your dad and us switching back and forth and going all the way there and then flying home because it was just amazing.
I ended up getting to meet them at their tent and I asked them, how did you fit all this stuff in that little airplane? and we ended up hanging out and having lunch and stuff. And that was a great trip.
Yeah.
I mean, Oshkosh is a special place. We've talked about Oshkosh several times and we've done episodes there and all sorts of things. But Oshkosh isn't just a bunch of airplanes. It's where family meets. It's where the people who you love and care about all meet in one place, sharing the same passion, which is aviation.
It's a reunion.
It's a reunion. And what's funny is, he didn't live very far away from me. But we still meet up in Oshkosh.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Oshkosh is a bucket list of mine. One of these days, I'm going to make it to Oshkosh.
One of these days is next July, Dave.
I think it might be.
One of these days
you just have to put it on your calendar now.
I need to put it on my calendar now.
That and the Catalina wine mixer.
And the Catalina wine mixer. There you go. But my dad came back with Rick. And when they came back, Rick said, "Hey, Joe, I'm not able to fly that much." At that point, Rick had moved to the Phoenix area. And he said, "Why don't we partner into the plane?" And so my dad partnered into the plane with Rick, and they started flying together and flying independent of each other and enjoying the plane out there. Eventually, Rick had had some hearing issues, had been flying the plane himself and realized that he wasn't hearing ATC and had some issues with landing and decided it would be a smart thing for him to stop flying. At that point, he offered the plane to my dad and said, "Do you want to just buy me out and keep the plane?" Which he did. My dad went through the training so that he could work on the plane and did all his own annuals and so forth, kept the plane in a hangar. The plane still to this day has not been out of a hangar more than one or two nights ever, and it stays covered in the hangar in Chino. And my dad loved it. It was in was it Quail Valley?
It was in Deer Valley.
Deer Valley Airport.
Deer Valley Airport.
In Phoenix. He would wax it on the weekends. He would fly it out to get breakfast in Sedona, Buckeye, wherever. He would just fly all over the local area of Phoenix on early mornings on the weekends and fly his plane. And it was his baby. He loved that plane. I was offered to fly my entire life and become a private pilot by my father many times. Later in life, by Brandon. And I still wasn't doing it. And one of my things my dad would say as he got sick was, "You better learn how to fly. All you're getting is this airplane. You better learn how to fly. All you're getting is the airplane." And he'd laugh. Well, eventually my dad got sick and he passed away, which was horrible for all of us. He was kind of the glue for our entire family, my brother, separate parts of the family and everything else. But he kind of kept us all together, which was a sad thing that he passed away. It was terrible. One of the better points to a bad thing was Brandon helped me put on a memorial for him. We did a military on Friday. And then on a Saturday, we did a memorial at the Riverside Airport.
We took over the entire terminal.
It rained like crazy. People came from everywhere. Elderly family members came and drove in the pouring rain. Brandon and I had previously flown Bettie Jean in from Arizona.
Three or four days before.
We parked it right in front of the terminal so everybody could see it out the window. That was the first time Bettie Jean had ever been in the rain.
Exactly. And I'm going to take a sidebar on the story real quick on how we got that airplane. I don't know if I ever talked about it, but
the story on
flying back. So I have a rule that some people have heard. If it's a brand new airplane to me that I haven't flown very often, or if it just came out of annual, I do not fly it IFR right off the bat. And I do not fly it at night because those are two things that I can't really deal with very well. Not seeing anything is not a good thing. And then on top of that, flying over the desert at night or IFR.
Let me interrupt that. Brandon said, and so when we got to the airport, the nose of the airplane was off. The whole front of was off.
The front cowling, yeah.
The cowling. We had rebuilt the carburetors and did a couple things to it before my dad passed away. And Rick had told me, "You can put the cowling on. You're mechanical. You know how to do it." And they had set everything in separate cups. So Brandon and I, we came in on the Aerostar.
Yeah, Anthony flew with the Aerostar. We flew in. And we got there so fast. It was like 45 minutes or something.
48 minutes.
48.
Okay. 48 minutes from Riverside to Deer Valley. We land. Anthony drops us off. And we start putting the RV back together.
And we tell Anthony, "Don't leave yet."
Well, we actually told him to leave because we thought we were okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get the entire airplane back together. And we have one cup with two bolts. And so I call Rick and I said, "Rick, I got two bolts. What are these?" And I sent him a picture and he goes, "You forgot to bolt the oil cooler to the frame."
By the way, so we were like cutting it so short on time where if we didn't leave soon, it would have become dark. And I've got this rule in the dark and it's just, I don't like the safety margin with a plane that just got out of annual. Somebody else did it. The person who did the annual is no longer with us, so we can't ask questions about it. There's a bunch of things saying, "Don't fly this airplane." And then we put the whole thing together. And by the way, when you put together that many like hinge pins, is that what they're called?
They're piano hinge
pins. Piano hinge pins.
Right.
It is absolutely insane.
It's tedious.
Yeah, it's very tedious and it has to be perfect. So we did all that for like an hour and a half. And finally, we were like, "Okay, we got it." So then we start the airplane up and we hear this rattle. And then we figured out that's what those two screws were after we talked to Rick.
And he said the only way to put the two bolts back in is you're going to have to take the entire cowling back off again. So we took the entire nose of the plane back off again. We put the two bolts in the oil cooler. We put the cowling back on, and now it's getting dark. And Brandon says, I do not want to be flying over the 10 freeway and think, I got to look for lights because I got to put this thing on the 10 freeway at night. He goes, we're staying. We're not going anywhere. And he goes, let's get in the plane. Let's fire it up. I'm going to call tower. We're going to ask for a high speed taxi. And they granted us high speed taxi. We ran it all the way up. We were right at speed where we could rotate. And Brandon cut her down and off we went. We parked and we went and got some dinner.
Yeah.
We stayed in a hotel.
Yeah. We found like the cheapest, terrible hotel. It wasn't actually that bad.
It wasn't bad.
No, I mean, the lobby was terrible, but the room was clean at least. That's all that I cared about. And we didn't have any clothes, by the way. So we went
to Walmart.
We went to Walmart to go buy some clothes.
And toothbrushes.
And toothbrushes, yeah. And then we left early in the morning. We go back to Riverside and it was a great trip. I mean, we went to that little restaurant. They had like a band playing.
The country western band was playing at the barbecue place. Yeah, yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was a neat place. So it ended up being a fun trip when we only thought we were going to be rushing to go there and come back. And I had meetings the next morning. Dave had work the next day to like jobs he had to go to. And I was like, do we really have to be there? Not really.
Not really.
We moved it all.
It wasn't worth the risk.
It was not worth the risk. We moved it all. Everybody was happy. I don't even remember what the meetings were at. I'm sure you don't remember what job it was.
I don't either.
It just ended up being great.
It was. And do you remember how cold it was? And Rick had told us, oh, don't worry about hooking up the heater.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God we hooked up the heater. Yeah,
we needed that heater. And then, by the way, on the way back, there was one malfunction. There always is whenever you get a plane out of annuals. There's always one thing that doesn't work. And of course, the autopilot didn't work. But guess what I had as a flight instructor? I had the ultimate autopilot. His name was Dave Granville.
And I did get to fly left seat all the way back. By the way, I still don't have my certification yet, but I am a student pilot. And Brandon just happens to be a CFI. So
it all worked out.
I flew left seat all the way back and I was the autopilot, which was great because I got some great flight time and I got to fly Betty Jean, which was awesome.
And we got some cool pictures and videos too.
Yeah, we did. We did. We had a great time.
That's neat.
So that's neat. So that's the story of Betty Jean. You'll probably hear more about the RV-12 and hopefully the guys are going to fly it here soon. They've been talking about it. And that's the story of Joseph Conley, my dad, the true aviator.
He really was a true aviator, an aviator's aviator with these stories. And there's a couple of these stories I never heard today, which was really neat. I never heard the ones about dropping down. Oh, not today, the last episode. I never heard the ones about like dropping the plane in Vietnam and then kind of finishing it off with an auto rotation and hitting the ground. That's pretty wild.
I haven't heard any of these.
I know. I knew Carson would be.
I'm just enthralled like this whole episode. You should just see my face. It hasn't changed.
You should
just like,
Everybody can see your face.
I know.
But you know what face you should have seen is Mark's face half the time. Mark, you have to superimpose your face into this. For one, no one's ever seen you.
Well, the good part is he gets it when you know you're doing good. He gets a big smile on his face.
He does. So. Well, Dave, thanks again for being a part of today's show, and I know you enjoy it. And we honestly, if this isn't the most popular episode we've ever had, I would be very surprised. This was just a fantastic kind of start to our week. I mean, it's Tuesday, but yesterday I was busy all day, and I just feel like this is a real start to the week. So, thanks for coming into the podcast studio and
sharing something special. Like really, really special with this. That was awesome.
I mean, this day went from laughs to emotion to everything in between. And that's when you know it's a special story. And listening to all the stories today, all I was thinking is, we have to make this a movie.
I have to thank you guys for having me. Any opportunity to talk about my dad, to talk about aviation and the things that he did and the things that he accomplished. He was an amazing guy. I apologize to my family and friends and people that I didn't mention. I was trying to keep it into aviation and the Vietnam pilot stories as much as I could. So I'm sure there was plenty of people I should have mentioned that I did not. I appreciate everybody out there listening and I hope to do this again sometime. Maybe you can talk about flying the RV-12.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We can talk about that and maybe kind of your foray foray. There we go. Into flight trading. Cause I know you started a little bit a while ago and life always gets in the way and hopefully we can get that done again soon. I know I'm supposed to bring Carson flying in that and kind of check him out, get him re-engaged in flying. And then
I think check out's the right word. Cause after I'm checked out, Dave and I are going to be up.
That's right. We're going to fly.
We're going to fly.
We need to get that thing in the air.
Yeah. Definitely do. By the way, the end of my travel is the end of this month. So my free time becomes immense. So we got to go fly that some more often.
So we need to put the boat in Long Beach. And then he needs to land Icon. The idea.
Yeah.
Oh. And then come visit us on the boat.
1,000% yes.
I think that would be awesome.
No, this makes sense. Let's do it.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
A lot of sense. And if you'd like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us at our emails, Brandon@aviationmentors.com or Carson@aviationmentors.com. Of course, for our wonderful producer, Mark, who hopefully he will put his face in this episode and you would have finally found him today. It's producer@aviationmentors.com. Don't forget to hit follow, like on whatever streaming platform you're listening or watching us on. It really helps support our aviation community grow and helps our listener base grow. We really appreciate it. And Dave, is there anywhere you'd like people to find you at? Social media or email or anything like that? Or you're like,
you can stay
away
off the grid too. That's okay.
I'm going off the grid.
If you have any questions or any corrections you'd like to make, my email address is daveg@granvillecm.com.
And we'll make sure we put that in the show notes as well. And by the way, Dave owns and runs a fantastic construction company. If anybody's looking for anything in the Southern California area, he can definitely help out. So make sure you give him a ring.
Thank you. That's Granville Contracting Management. I appreciate the plug, Brandon.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Well, thanks for being on with us today, Dave. And for everyone else, as we wrap up for the day, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.